Well, Dal, we are back after a one-week hiatus.
Seems like longer.
Doesn't it? All time seems like it's slowing down. You know why? It's because we've reached that point where, especially for me who watched all the spring football, I had that going for me, and it ended. And now we're in the waiting for NFL football period. And so time, because it hates you, has decided to slow down while you're waiting.
Hey, at least there's some preseason game. My Commanders play tomorrow against those filthy Browns. And I mean the team.
Hold on now. Isn't that just like a Washington Redskins Commanders fan?
Command skin.
But yeah, we were on schedule here to talk about the Western divisions. However, Dal, and I've worn my t-shirt as a part of it, I'd be remiss as a White Sox fan.
Yeah, we have to touch on this.
Not to lead off with all of the drama. So SummerSlam took place while I was in Missouri, Dal. This was more drama and soap opera nonsense than the WWE at any point in history.
Of course, we're talking about the brawl between...
We're talking about more than just that.
Ramirez and Tim Anderson.
Which, I'm still a little confused with Ramirez's reasoning being he's had it coming for a while. He's been disrespecting the game.
I still don't know why they were fighting. I mean, I saw the lead up. He like slid through his legs and he's on the... And then obviously we're not privy to what they're saying.
So Jose Ramirez claimed that he had, quote, been warning Tim throughout the years to knock off his childish behavior. And he said, and when I slid into second, he decided to place a hard tag on me, which is essentially a tag, but he pushes a little harder than normal. That's it. And that, I'm sorry, that's not a thing you actually start a fight over unless you're
just not in the major leagues.
I mean, unless you're down 5-1 and you're feeling a little chippy about it. So he gets up
to third grade.
Fight takes place. I was joking with my dad. I said, that's the type of thing that I don't think I'd ever start that fight in a game, like a real game. That's the type of thing I'd start a fight if, like, me and my best friend are like, it's hot out and we've been chirping a little too long and I slid into second. Then, all right, now maybe the blood's boiling a little. We're going to do it. But Ramirez landed that nasty right hook.
Oh, man. He cold-cocked him.
Knocked him a little loopy. And then all the stories started coming out. And it's almost more delicious than the fight itself. The fight was fun because it's a fight, right? And everyone's like, ooh, a little hockey in my baseball. And then suddenly we got the reports of some of the traded pitchers the White Sox just got rid of decided to take to the podium at some news conferences and start airing all the White Sox dirty laundry with Keenan Middleton talking about things like no accountability. He said leadership is non-existent and authority is non-existent. Everyone gets away with everything. He's essentially saying the inmates run the asylum in that place. The manager is nothing more than a puppet. He's just a yes man for our ownership. Then Lance Lynn came out and said, I was there much longer than Keenan Middleton was. And a reporter said, so do you refute what he said? And he said, no, actually, I mean, he's pretty much telling the truth. That's what Lance Lynn said as he left. So all that got aired. We got Keenan Middleton talking about how there was, quote, a rookie pitcher who would sleep in the bullpen every game and have to be woken up when it was his turn to go in. And it was funny that he just called him a rookie pitcher, like he was trying to spare us the guy's name. The White Sox have only had one rookie that's been pitching out of the bullpen this season, so we all know that it's Gregory Santos. And the funniest part is that Santos has the best ERA on the team. And so I'm kind of thinking maybe there just needs to be a bullpen nap time schedule.
Yeah, sounds like
for
it.
Like the third inning of
like
every
kindergarten
game. And someone,
here's your little thing of milk. Now go have a nap.
Someone shared a GIF, a White Sox reporter, and it just said Gregory Santos getting the call that he needs to go in for the most important moment of the game because he normally handles the eighth inning for us to set up the closer. And it was a GIF of some dude from some college movie just asleep at his desk, and the teacher goes over and shakes him awake, and he pops up and just starts clapping. He's like, oh, yep, no, I'm awake. I'm good. So all that happened. We had this even odder report that a, quote, White Sox employee, we have no idea what his title was. He could have been the janitor. I don't know. Said he went on Chicago Talk Radio and said he witnessed with his own eyes that right before the All-Star break, Yasmani Grandal walked into Rick Hahn's office 3 days before the break and said, "This team is atrocious. We're not making the playoffs anyway. Can I just leave early?" He wanted to leave 3 days early and just not play. He's like, "Put the backup in. Let him play for me." And Tim Anderson from the ice bath yelled across the room, "If that bleep bleeper doesn't want to be here, let him go. I'll pay for his plane ticket." And Grandal walked over and slapped Tim Anderson across the face. Anderson got up out of the bath and the two had to be separated. Everyone said, "Oh my goodness, this is horrible. I cannot believe the atrocities taking place in this." And then Rick Hahn, Yasmani Grandal, and Tim Anderson all came out and said, "That never happened. That guy is lying."
Wow.
I don't know what's happening in the South Side Chicago right now.
I do. They're not going to the playoffs.
That's true. All I know is that Luis Robert is the one source of happiness left in my South Side heart.
One of my favorite things about...
He hit ball far, Dal.
One of my favorite things about the whole incident, though, was someone gave Tim Anderson the Sonic treatment. Did you see this?
I did, with the rings popping out of his unconscious body.
The old video game, if you get hit, you lose all your rings and there's the sound. So Ramirez smacks him and then... Bling, all the rings fall out, and it was awesome.
I also enjoyed, because I kind of agree with it, despite the fact that most of the college-age kids, so a little younger than me, but sort of kind of my-ish generation, Dal, they're all on Twitter saying, "This is such a boomer opinion. Oh my goodness. Stop being such a troglodyte." And the opinion was, why did none of the White Sox go after Jose Ramirez for knocking out your player?
Maybe they don't like him.
And that was, you know, kind of, they're like, does this prove that Anderson isn't a very strong leader in the White Sox? That, because Andrew Vaughn became kind of gif-able among White Sox fans. Like, I don't know what Vaughn was doing during the fight, but he should have been sent to the front lines, because as the team was trying to hold Anderson back after he got his bearings, Andrew Vaughn walked up in front of him, puts both his hands under Anderson's armpits, picks him up like a toddler, and then carries him into the dugout from the field. I said, Andrew Vaughn's got that grown man strength. Why wasn't he at the front lines? And I kind of agree. Like, you don't just let someone knock out your teammate unless you just don't like the guy. But, you know, we got all the... I'm just going to go out and say my opinion on the matter. All the incredibly soft people of the internet talking about, oh my goodness, stop advocating for the violence of the, we got to go back after them. And shut up. You absolutely do. You don't let someone knock out your boy right in front of you.
I do have to say, though, probably the best thing that came out of the whole thing is, as an announcer, the announcer for the Cleveland Guardians, Tom Hamilton, absolutely nailed this whole incident, and I want to play it real quick for our listeners. We'll see.
He did transition nicely.
Hold on. Oh, I hate it when they do this. You think you got the thing ready to go, and you don't.
And we got some more announcer baseball news coming up once. Well, you can all research it yourself. Just type it in. It's one of the viral videos of the week right now, is him transitioning so incredibly quickly from baseball to boxing announcer.
Yeah, which is
very funny.
Which is what I'm trying to find here, but...
It's all right. Oh, I'll put a link to it in the description down below. How about that, Dal?
I'm finding this. This is pissing me off.
In other announcer news, oh, did you find, nope.
Why do you have to, I'm finding this.
At this point, it feels like we might be harping on this just a tad bit.
Probably,
but yeah, we'll let Dal go ahead and continue searching. We're on to YouTube now, so you're going to hear an ad play here in a moment, ladies and gentlemen.
No, I've got it turned off.
Oh, brilliant.
Okay. We're going to find this.
Are we cooking with gas yet here, Dal?
All right, here we go, I think.
First slide, safe, and in the score is Jimenez.
And right there you can kind of see him. He's talking about the tag.
Right over the bag, and Val Hosey and Anderson square off. They're fighting. They're swinging. Down goes he.
Now,
that is absolutely perfect.
I must also say, you know what I find very funny about this whole incident and how the world cares about regular season baseball? Everyone has been tagging every White Sox fan they know, talking about Tim Anderson losing the fight. You know, we actually beat them in that game and the next day.
Well, it's just like, who was it?
We won the series.
Was it Dan Patrick or one of the old SportsCenter guys? They used to say stuff like, oh, by the way, there was a game.
Yeah.
it's like, by the way, or it could have been, what's his name? I'll lose his name. But it's like, by the way, there was a game and so-and-so won. Anyway, this team
I used to give Blues fans crap about that. They would always post whenever Ryan Reeves would start a fight with the Blackhawks because he was their big enforcer. Especially back like pre-2017, like before that era. And he'd fight Brian Bickle or Andrew Shaw or something. And he'd normally come out on top because he was a big old bruiser. And they'd post these highlights and it was always like you looked up and the scoreboard said 4-0 Blackhawks. And I'm like, what are you sharing this for? But anyhow.
All right, football.
That all went down. And on top of that, because this is pertinent to us, before we get into football, Dal, in the announcing landscape, did you hear about Kevin Brown and the Baltimore Orioles?
Yeah, what a ridiculous. Okay, sometimes when the announcers, in fact, I would say most of the time when it's happened recently and an announcer says something that they shouldn't, they get in trouble, at least there's a discussion. This guy said nothing wrong. He was quoting facts.
It wasn't even just, yeah, like people talking about that it was truthful. I mean, I understand.
He was not even extrapolating his own opinion. He just said, this is the record the Orioles have against the Rays in the last 6 years or whatever it was.
Mm-hmm.
And it was terrible. It was like 1-18.
No, they had lost 16 straight series at Tropicana Field.
But it's like, but he didn't even say like, well, as you can see, that's a pretty tough series. You know, that's a pretty bad. He didn't even give an opinion.
No,
he just said what it was and moved on. And
did they fire the graphics guy?
And apparently someone got real butthurt about this.
Serious question.
I'm assuming it's the owner.
The broadcasting company that suspended him created and put up the graphic.
Well, here's the bottom line.
All he did was read it.
Here's the bottom line, Aaron. He didn't do anything wrong.
No.
Not even close.
Imagine for a moment, Dal, that you were doing a Star Valley game, and thus far, I mean, they're pretty good at sports, but let's pretend going into the state championship, Cody's been really good. Let's say there was a big streak there. You're like, oh, you know what? And, you know, Star Valley hoping to turn things around. They've lost 5 straight to Cody.
I mention stuff like that all the time.
Imagine if you got a call the next day that SVI had to suspend you because Star Valley raised a fuss.
Yeah.
Ridiculous.
Absolutely asinine. Stupid.
Insanity.
In fact, they've hurt themselves because apparently the fans last night were chanting free. What's his name again?
Kevin.
Free Kevin.
That's what they were chanting.
They were chanting it in the stands. Yeah, stupid.
I believe it's Kevin Brown, but I thought they were just chanting Free Kevin. They might have chanted his whole name.
Stupid. Yeah. Really stupid.
And as you said, though, preseason, Dal. Oh, can you? You can smell it a little bit, can't you?
I can smell it because, like I said, my team plays tomorrow, and they play against the wicked, wicked Browns. actually, here's the irony. I like Cleveland. I like the city of Cleveland. I like the franchise of the Browns, but I cannot abide their ridiculous actions regarding Deshaun Watson. I just can't.
And a couple of things in regards to that division. We've already passed it, but there's news coming out of Bengals area. Do you remember when people were talking about how the Bengals had, quote, missed their window because pretty soon they're not going to be able to pay all these guys? As if the Patriots ever struggled with that.
Yeah.
As if the Saints ever struggled with that.
The Cowboys.
As if.
And the Cowboys don't even go to the Super Bowl.
I was just talking about, like, in our life, as if the Manning, Colts, and Broncos ever struggled with that. Contracts come up. Some guys stay, some go. You got Peyton Manning. You got Tom Brady. You got Drew Brees. You got Joe Burrow.
Well,
it's
like Joe Burrow said, the window's open as long as I'm here.
And regardless of that, here they are. And so far, they've managed to pay everybody. Now, they still have Chase, Burrow, and Higgins coming up. Mixon took a pay cut and extended. And now, Logan Wilson has signed his big... And we talked to him about that on the show. He said he was very optimistic something would get done. And now we know why. And I'm not trying to make it sound like he got lowballed or anything. But he took a very team-friendly deal to stay in Cincinnati and then just stated as such. He said, I think this deal works for both sides. I get a reasonable amount, and it's not market breaking or anything. It was very important to him, as he stated in the interview, that this would help the Bengals going forward to keep everyone together. And that seems to be the mindset of that entire team. It truly is something weird.
There's a lot of players who want that ego stroking of I get paid the most, even if it only lasts for a day, which at quarterbacks it does. I made the most in the league. They want that little thing that says I got the highest paid for what I am. I'm the best ever, whatever. Logan Wilson, again, we covered this kid as a high schooler. He has always struck me as a very down to earth. How much dang money do you need? I don't think he's extravagant at all. So you look at this and it's like, oh, he's going to make 37. That is my great grandkids shouldn't have to work kind of money. $37 million?
Which, by the way, as people have pointed out, now Bears fans like to throw shade this way because there was the whole Roquan Smith holdout situation, and we said we got Terrell Edmonds and TJ Edwards for the same price as Roquan Smith signed in Baltimore. Now you want to talk about someone in the same situation. So Logan Wilson and Jermaine Pratt, who are also two very good linebackers, cost about $5 million less per year for both of them than Roquan Smith is going to cost the Ravens.
It is interesting that you bring that up. Yeah, the whole team, and I think they do. I think they realize, okay, Burrow's got to make his, and it's got to be in the window, you know, because obviously all these quarterbacks are making crazy money. And I'll be honest, as a Josh Allen fan, I look at his deal, which he signed a couple years ago, which looks like a steal by today's comparison. But at some point, Josh is going to have to restructure his and maybe do the Tom Brady thing. It's like, okay, I signed that $200 million deal, but now I'm going to make a paltry $12 million a year so I can have better weapons and have a chance to win the Super Bowl every year. I could see that happening.
And I think Allen is down to like only the fifth highest paid quarterback now. So,
which is still
not even with the salary cap continuously going up. It's not even like his contract's that big of an albatross at the moment.
So, we need to start talking about that, but we'll get to it.
The West isn't too interesting. But there's no one of note there.
The other thing that was interesting is I didn't know this. I'm really not a gossip person, and so this kind of hit me out of nowhere. They're like, there's these stories. Josh Allen is now dating Hailee Steinfeld, who is the actress slash singer slash whatever. She's one of those people that got in the front of the line in all the lines in heaven, got all the talents. And Josh had been dating this other gal, Brittany something, forever. I mean, they were dating when they were in Laramie. And so apparently that's done. And now he's dating this gal. And I thought, wow, good job, Josh, because obviously she's gorgeous and she's famous and she's rich. So To be fair,
Josh Allen is those
things. Yeah, he is. And that's kind of where I'm headed with this. So I Googled her net worth because, you know, that's the first thing that comes up anymore when you Google someone. It's like, and they're famous, like net worth. It's like, well, she's worth like $10 to $12 million. And I thought, first off, that's less than I was expecting.
That's 8.5 weeks of Josh Allen football,
and then I
baby.
I thought, Josh Allen is worth like $250 million. He dwarfs what her net worth is. And I was shocked at that. I didn't go into that Google search like trying to compare. But it just goes to show you just how much money these contracts have hit. I mean, Justin Herbert is making $52 million a year moving forward. That's just his football. That is not any of the endorsements like he has for SoFi, anything like that. Same thing with Allen. So that doesn't count the NFL Sunday Ticket or Gillette or any of those types of things. That's just to play football.
Yep.
And so it's just it's kind of mind boggling. So I thought to myself, so maybe it's her going, hey, he's pretty rich. But I somehow don't think so. But anyway, I was taken aback by this because I'm like, is this a thing? And then I immediately found myself, I actually like this girl a lot. She jumped on the scene, and I don't know who she is, back when she was a teenager, because she was in that remake of True Grit. Mm. And she basically stole that show. In fact, I think she won, or she was nominated for an Oscar for it, in like one of her first roles. She's like 14 or 13 or something. And I'm like, she's amazing. She's really good in this. And so I've always kind of kept track. Well, now she's in her mid-20s, and she's a pop singer and all these other things. And then it's like...
As all child actors one day will be.
Yeah, I guess so. She's Hawkeye now in the Marvel Universe. Mm. She's Spider-Girl in the multiverse. I mean, she's got all these things going on. And yet, I'm like, now she's dating Josh Allen. That's weird. And apparently, Josh thinks it's weird, too. Someone brought up the fact that there was a picture of them kissing or something. He's like, It's like, it blows my mind people will even care. And I'm thinking to myself... Wow, you're in for a rude awakening, Josh, because I think they're going to be hiding in your bushes now. Anyway, interesting stuff.
Yeah, as we await the final three pieces of Bengal extension watch, and I'd have to assume at this point, do you feel like it's just an inevitability now after they've done everything else that Higgins, Chase, and Burrow, like, they're going to end up extending.
If they can figure out all three of those guys... Like you said, like you just pointed out, if they can all be on the same team-friendly page, man, that team's window is open for a while.
That is going to be scary.
It is.
For the NFL. But we're talking West.
As long as Burrow stays healthy, which...
Also true.
He's taken a few hits here and there, but for the most part, he's been healthy.
We're going to talk about, first, the team that I keep predicting every year to be the Bengals' opponent in the Super Bowl. I'm going to keep doing it until it happens, or until both of them suck, I guess.
You're like Chris Berman, always picking the Niners and the Bills.
And neither of these are even my team.
Yeah.
Berman, those were his two teams. I'm like, well, I got to put Burrow in there, and like the Bengals have to get the monkey off their back, right? They got to beat the Niners to win a Super Bowl. But anyhow,
so yeah, Aaron's
my
got his
Kittle jersey.
His George Kittle jersey. Interesting. We have to bring this up when it comes to the Niners. So here they are. They traded up, gave up a significant amount of team assets to pick Trey Lance.
Out of
North Dakota State. He played in, I think, 11 career collegiate games, not even Division I games. Now, I'm not going to sit here and badmouth the school he's playing at, because let's be honest, it produced Carson Wentz. The same coaches went to Wyoming and helped produce Josh Allen. There's some success there.
Or Packers fans would tell you the greatest wide receiver in the history of wide receivers, Christian Watson, apparently.
But here's the crazy thing. So Brock Purdy, who is literally the first Mr. Irrelevant to be relevant.
You will not... Bad talk. Oh, what was his name? The kicker.
See, you did.
Ryan Suckup.
Yeah.
Was Mr. Irrelevant.
You couldn't think of his name, therefore he's irrelevant.
Only because I kept trying to call him Butker, and I'm like, no, the chief before that.
But
Ryan Suckup had a very good career.
But Brock Purdy was the last player selected. And he's a quarterback. Obviously, he had that great run last year. Almost said yesterday. That makes sense. But here's the crazy thing. Backing up Brock Purdy, who was the last pick in his draft, is likely to be Sam Darnold, who was a top 5 overall pick. Back in the day, he was in the mix to be the number 1 overall pick out of USC.
Mm-hmm.
Ends up going to Carolina. Doesn't really perform how they want there. Now they're moving on. They've moved on a couple of times, actually. And then Trey Lance is now the third quarter. So Brock Purdy is entrenched as the starter in front of two first-round quarterback picks at San Francisco. That is kind of nuts. You have to admit that.
Perhaps we're going to be seeing Trey Lance in that... he's a very talented runner, And Kyle Shanahan is Kyle Shanahan. So I'm willing to bet that no matter what, we'll see some bits of Trey Lance this
Year. I'm starting to think that he is turning into that draft class's version of Josh Rosen.
Perhaps.
Everybody was wetting their pants, and then it's like, oh, wait a minute.
I could foresee, though, that they've got some, hey, it's first and goal from the two. Put Lance in there. We're going to run some read option.
Yeah,
but, I could see that.
But then everybody knows what's happening.
Sort of.
He's not going to throw it.
He's still got to tackle either him or McCaffrey.
Yeah, I guess. But looking,
I'd like to point out the Saints do that.
But looking at this, yeah, but Taysom Hill's like 6'5". He's huge.
Oh, Hill's kind of short. He's just real buff.
He's thick.
I say short. I think he's like 6'1". But, you know, quarterback short.
He's actually from Pocatello, Idaho. Did you know that?
What a guy. By the way, do you see they're not even messing around with it? On the So every team posted their very first initial depth chart. Taysom Hill, for the first time, is not even listed on the quarterback chart. He's the number two tight end.
The funny thing about him, and we're already off topic here.
Yeah.
Is he was the quarterback at BYU. The BYU fans could not wait to get rid of him because he kept getting hurt. When he was on the field, he was doing amazing things. He obliterated Texas twice, I think, in his career. But they couldn't wait to move on because he kept getting hurt. Now, BYU fans latch onto this guy like he's Steve Young in the league. And it's like, you couldn't wait to get rid of him. But it's interesting that a guy who could not stay healthy in college now has kind of this tough guy mystique, doesn't get hurt. It's weird to me.
Sometimes it happens.
Is he on the antler powder like Ray Lewis or what?
So the biggest question mark for the 49ers heading into this year, Nick Bosa's holdout. How long is that going to go? Will they extend him? Will they trade him? Probably not. Will he play without a new deal?
He'll play eventually.
So, and if he doesn't, do the 49ers drop from 13 projected wins down to 11? Like,
here's my you look at this division, and I think you've got some paper tigers in here. One, Seattle. It was a nice story. Geno Smith's a nice story. They're not going to beat the 49ers in this division. That's not going to happen. The Rams, you get Matt Stafford back. They won the Super Bowl a couple years ago, but let's be honest, it's not the same team. A lot of different players. Cooper Kupp has not been the same in 18 months. Matt Stafford apparently is looking good again. But again, I don't see them challenging this. And then you got the Cardinals. I mean, who even knows what they're doing? They paid their quarterback and shouldn't have, probably. They should let that kid walk and play baseball. And so I look at the Niners and I think to myself, of course they're going to win that division. I mean,
plus, they just got a really good roster themselves.
Yeah, unless Brock Purdy turns into Mr. Irrelevant, which doesn't seem likely.
The 49ers were extremely successful with Jimmy Garoppolo at quarterback. Mm-hmm. They will be fine. Even if Purdy comes out and sucks, this is the faith I have in Kyle Shanahan. I think he can throw Sam Darnold or Trey Lance into that game and say, darn it, Purdy's not getting me what I need. Darnold, get in there and,
I don't know.
And throw a touch pass to Deebo Samuel. It's not hard. It's a 3-inch throw.
I don't know. I actually think that's the Achilles heel of that team. If Brock Purdy can come in and continue to play like he did when he did what he did last year, then they'll be fine. I'm not convinced they have the people behind him, or even if he takes the sophomore slump or whatever. I guess he's not a sophomore. You know what I'm saying? Now that there's tape on him, now that there's been an off season.
Is he not? Wasn't he a rookie last year?
Yeah, I guess you're right.
Yeah.
So it would be a sophomore. Anyway, I guess I'm still not totally convinced, but I still think it's a really good roster. It's a really good coaching staff. You still got George Kittle. You still got Christian McCaffrey. You still got Deebo Samuel.
You got
Brandon Ayuk. Those guys are all really good.
And there's no real boomer bust option on that team. So I'll just ask you this, Dal, one final time. You're positive you're not taking McCaffrey first overall?
I'm not. Here's a boomer bust for you. Here's a boomer bust for you. Do you take Brock Purdy?
In fantasy?
In fantasy.
As this a backup.
This is a 13-plus win team. You just said
you
it.
You don't get points for wins, though.
Yeah, but as a byproduct, he's going to have some numbers.
He will.
So you're saying you would take him as your second quarterback?
I had him last year as my second quarterback.
You eventually, but I'm saying at the beginning of the year, would you draft him as your second quarterback?
Sure. I mean, if I've got Allen or Burrow as my one, and I'm like, you know what? Can Purdy get me 20 points on their bye week? Probably. He'll throw three touchdowns or something. Okay. He'll have 200 yards, but I mean, three touchdowns. He'll do that several times.
But I really do think he's going to be the, he's the big question mark there.
Speaking of question marks, well, how about this, Dal? How about my gold Marshall Faulk Rams jersey? Isn't it hideous?
Those are ugly.
Oh, but it's like, I couldn't help myself at the time. This was actually the
first. By the
way,
this is like metallic gold.
My very first. Yes. All right. This was the first non-Bears jersey I ever owned. It was on clearance. I got this and that Rod Woodson jersey that ended up getting destroyed. They were both on clearance because both players had just retired.
Marshall Faulk was a freaking stud.
And they have nothing that even resembles a Marshall Faulk right now.
A Mountain West whack player, San Diego State.
But they do have Cooper Kupp, and they do have Matt Stafford. But are those two question marks at this point?
Aaron Donald. Does Aaron Donald come back again?
I actually still think that Kupp had injury problems last year.
I totally agree.
He's still a very, he's a top five wide receiver. He's a dominant player.
When he's out there.
Every game he played last year, he was still catching 8 to 12 balls a game. It was ridiculous. However, is he going to have 2021 Matt Stafford whipping him that football, or is he going to have broken, getting a little up there in number, in age number, Matt Stafford?
I actually think Matt Stafford's going to have a fine year. I just don't know that the Rams have the same weapons around them that they did when they won the Super Bowl a couple years ago. And let's not forget.
And their defense is getting a little thin on talent.
Cooper Kupp put up one of the most ridiculous individual seasons in the history of the league that year, not just for wide receiver, but just as a player. I mean, my gosh, his numbers
should have been MVP
off the charts,
by the way.
Well, it's one of those years where it's kind of reminds me when JJ Watt had that year, and it's like, well, if he's not the MVP, then you're never going to give it to that position. That's kind of what the Cooper Kupp, it's like, oh, okay, so we're just giving this to quarterbacks. Why don't we just call it that then?
And by the way, you want to talk about, well, the quarterback's more valuable. Let me just say this. Cooper Kupp won the Super Bowl that year and was the Super Bowl MVP.
Well, how about the center?
Aaron Rodgers didn't win a single playoff game. Who was really more valuable, Dal?
How about the center? The center touches the ball every play.
He sure does.
Doesn't even get looked
at. I'm just saying, people always want to give it to the quarterback because of their valuable. They're like,
no,
the word valuable's in there. Well, how about this? Kupp was Super Bowl MVP and Rodgers didn't win a playoff game.
The Rams don't win the Super Bowl without Cooper Kupp that year.
There you go. So why isn't he the MVP?
Don't look at me. I don't have a vote.
It's because he didn't have a cool mustache,
I guess.
Yeah.
Cooper
Kupp beat the 49ers in the
so
playoffs.
So what do you think the over-under is for wins for the Rams this year?
What do I think it is?
Yeah, what is it?
I don't know. Is it 8.5?
I'm asking what your guess is. I'm not actually asking you to know.
It seems like it would have been more that you should have just asked me if I was taking the over or the under.
I'm just saying, but are the Rams a playoff team as currently constructed? Playing in the NFC West? I don't know.
My
that
gut
are.
Says no,
yeah,
but the
either.
NFC is a little weak. Relative.
I don't know. I'm going to say no at this point.
Let's say no. Boomer bust. You got Matt Stafford as your QB1.
Nope.
How you feeling?
Nope. Because I'm taking Josh Allen #1 overall. But even if I
a
wasn't,
mistake was made. If this took, if you
but
have
even
Matt
if
Stafford.
I wasn't, even if I wasn't, there's at least 15 guys I'd take in front of him
for fantasy, not just for real. Okay.
Yeah, or 10 at least.
We are a 12-team league now, Dal, so you need to find a 12 better.
I don't even know if you're going to keep me around. You're moving, so I don't even know if you're going to keep me in the league.
Oh, we're going to keep Dal Erickson in this league. Don't you worry. But especially unless you do this again and you end up with either Jonathan Taylor or Christian McCaffrey first.
Jonathan Taylor can suck it.
Then you're a coward and we have to call you out.
Jonathan Taylor's not even with the team today. He's rehabbing his ankle.
We were pro running back and their struggle a couple of episodes ago, but then we brought up Jonathan Taylor and Dal's fantasy football PTSD kicked in.
He can stuff it.
Oh, he did last year plenty of times. Don't you worry.
All right, let's keep moving here.
All right, how about? Oh, we got an Aaron Curry Seahawk. Let's talk Seahawks here, Dal.
The comeback player of the year on the Seahawks, Geno Smith, one of the more remarkable stories in the league last year. You have to admit, 8 years in the making.
He made the top 100 list.
But 8 years in the making, the guy goes from bust to throwing 4,000 yards and the Seahawks going to the playoffs. I mean, crazy. I think the difference is they don't sneak up on anybody this year. But do I think they're better than the Rams? Probably.
It's always hard to tell. Because we always look at the roster, and it's so difficult to program your brain not to just assume that these players are what you just saw a year ago.
Yeah, it's true.
Like, you look at the Seahawks, and you're like, are they better than the Rams? Probably. Why? Because in the back of your mind, you're still kind of thinking Geno Smith is going to play really well.
Well, and if he does, he's got DK Metcalf, he's got Tyler Lockett, he's got Kenneth Walker.
But that offense does not click even with all that talent if Smith goes back to playing like Geno Smith.
You're right. Well, like, yeah. I mean, Jets anything, really.
And we've seen a couple of these in the past, lest we never forget touchdown Tommy Maddox having his one breakout season late in his career.
Yeah.
Tim Couch had one good season with the Buffalo Bills.
He did.
Kelly Holcomb also took the Browns to the playoffs. I know Jeff George had a 4,500-yard season at one point in his 30s, and then, you know, remembered that he was Jeff George and said, wait, I don't care about this sport. I'm going to go back to being Super Cutler. Yeah.
All right. So, yeah, Seahawks. I think they inevitably have to take at least a short step back.
And we don't know how many games Walker's going to miss with his injury, as he still hasn't returned to practice.
I don't see them being able to duplicate what they did last year.
And last year they were only the 7 seed.
Right.
So, but if they can't replicate that, then they're not making the playoffs.
But at the beginning of the season last year, you go back 12 months, we were talking about, I mean, we as in predictions and things across the nation, they were talking about the Seahawks maybe being the worst team in the league.
Do you remember when they beat Denver week one and everybody laughed at Denver? Like, oh, way to choke week one, you idiots.
And then it's like, oh, wait a minute, they're bad and these guys are actually pretty good.
In retrospect, isn't it shocking Seattle only won by 3 at home?
Well, but the flip side of that is, seriously, I mean, we thought Drew Lock was going to be the starter and that team was going to win 3 or 4 games. And instead,
people made a huge deal about, oh, Drew Lock must truly suck. He can't even beat out Geno Smith.
Yeah.
What an idiot. Oh, oopsie daisies. Turns out Geno Smith heard all of you and got mad.
Some people still think that. But, you know, I'm not buying the Seahawks.
Yeah.
I'm not buying them.
All right, Dal, you can have DK Metcalf, but how confident are you that Geno is still going to be getting him the ball really well? He's your wide receiver one.
No.
He was top 10 last year.
Nope, I'm not.
Do you think he does it again?
No, I'm not taking him as my wide receiver one.
What if Kenneth Walker was your second running back, and you have no idea when his first game's going to be?
Nope, not going to do it.
Not going to do it? All right, we got lots of busts from Dal. Dal's not drafting anybody this year.
I'm not.
Dal is going to have Josh Allen and then a bunch of empty spots.
That's all I need.
And he's just going to have his Josh Allen Wyoming jersey on, screaming at his TV weekly. And it's actually going to be the most entertaining part of the entire season. We need a live stream of it. Come on, Dal's fighting Josh Allen's. And then you have the Jaguars defense because, you know, Josh Allen, so...
Yeah, I guess. All right, rounding out the NFC West.
Oh, we got
the Cardinals.
I got the Bolden. The Anquan. The Quan.
Here's the crazy thing about the Cardinals. I already touched on it. They already spend all their money on a quarterback who may or may not be their quarterback, which is not good. I'm not a believer. Again, I hate to be Mr. Bust on the whole NFC West, but I just don't trust Kyler Murray at all.
Now, they did replace their coach, who I was adamant I thought was a bit on the dumb side.
He shouldn't have been it. What was Cliff Kingsbury's resume to be an NFL coach? That he had a losing record in college?
With Patrick Mahomes at quarterback.
I don't understand. I mean, I'm not even saying that the guy isn't a smart offensive mind. That seems to be what people were thinking about him.
Then how come he keeps having these very talented quarterbacks and he keeps not maximizing them?
Well, I can't speak all the other ones. I think Kyler Murray is a little tiny diva.
Now, to be fair, as I pointed out, he had Patrick Mahomes in college, and Patrick Mahomes had some bad, bad decision-making and turnover problems under Kingsbury. So, who knows? Maybe Kyler Murray's going to come out and he's going to play like Oklahoma Kyler Murray now.
No.
Because suddenly they know how to use Kyler Murray. I don't know. I'm not going to put money down on it. All I'm saying is maybe.
I'll bet the Cardinals win fewer than 6 games this year.
Even with their shiny new.
I don't care.
Do they have 2 top 5 picks?
I don't care.
Or Houston did.
They're still rookies.
Yeah. They went out and they got Paris Johnson, who Kyler Murray personally got down on his knees and begged for, which was a little funny.
Yeah, I don't believe him in them at all.
So, well, DeAndre Hopkins just straight up wanted out, so that should have been telling.
I think you're going to see a season where they're going to struggle, and then they're going to try and move Kyler Murray. Because you have a new coach. He's not the answer. Someone, they're going to take it in the shorts on his contract.
Hilarious foresight on a team that really loves going out and trading for veteran quarterbacks that other teams are trading or getting rid of. And your Washington Commanders are going to make that call. And
no, they're
you
not.
Are on this show going to have an aneurysm.
No, they're not. It's going to be Howell, Brissett. If that doesn't work out, then they're going to go
and trade for Kyler Murray.
No, they're going to draft one of the studs supposedly coming up in
to
the
learn
draft.
Under Kyler Murray.
Nope, not going to. You forget we have a different ownership now.
That's true. Do you have a different GM?
We have Eric Bieniemy now.
That's true. Who he and Ron Rivera had a very funny little.
They did, but
practice
today.
Spat that
but
they,
today Rivera came out and said, "I put my foot in my mouth. Sorry."
Yeah, they
made way too big a deal out of nothing. The
they make a way too
nothing.
Big a deal out of everything all the time.
Well, it's like, sorry, but after I saw how Jay Gruden and all the players acted during camp when he was the coach, it looked like a friggin' kindergarten class. It's like, no wonder you lost all the time.
Now, I know that you and I are both big Cowboy haters, but do you also think that they way overblew the safety who intercepted Prescott and then clapped in his face and said, come on, Dackie boy. And we got like Coe Herd getting on air and saying, the Bengals would never talk to Burrow that way. The Chiefs would never talk to Mahomes that way. I'm like, it's training. I promise you
it's
they
stupid.
Do. They absolutely do.
There's way too much being made about everything.
If you're not competing just for the fun of competition during your 7-on-7s at training camp, like everyone is talking trash at training camp to everybody. When Aaron Donald gets pancaked, do you think he just has the utmost respect of the offensive lineman, or do you think the entire offensive line group gets in his face and goes, oh,
yeah, because
that's what you do.
I think he does the sign of the cross and hopes the guy up. No, I doubt it. Moving over to the AFC West, really quite an interesting division.
My Tomlinson.
Ooh, that's a good one. Tomlinson. I actually really like Justin Herbert. I really do.
Yeah.
I don't know that he's worth $52 million. I don't know that he's worth being the top quarterback paid in the league. I like him. I think he's got a great receiving core. I think Austin Eckler's a stud. And it seems like last year the whole team kind of underachieved, at least for the first half of the year. They get Slater back at left tackle, who, again, I'm the guy.
Northwestern.
His dad played at Wyoming. His dad was a. His dad played basketball for the University of Wyoming. That's Reggie Slater, man. So, yeah, I think the Chargers.
The Chargers
are set up for a very good year.
Every year. The season starts, and you look at the Chargers roster, and you go, holy crap, that's a top five team in football right there. Look at this roster. They got Bosa. They got Mack. They got Derwin James. They got Asante Samuel. Their defense, stacked. They had all those players last year. They ranked like 16th or 17th in the NFL. You go, they got Justin Herbert. Austin, the touchdown machine, Eckler. Honestly, I don't care. It's not my business. It's not my team. Pay him, don't pay him. I don't care. I'm drafting him in fantasy either way. You got Keenan Allen. You got Mike Williams. Oh, you got Gerald Everett, who's top half of the league, and he's tall, if nothing else. He's going to catch you those jump balls. You're like, that's a top three offense right there. And then they were like, 11th.
Yeah, I don't know.
And people want to talk about, well, you see, that's proof right there. Justin Herbert, he's not elevating his team. But it's like you watch the games, right? It's not like Herbert is doing anything wrong. First of all, they have injury problems.
I think you've got to blame the coach. I think you've constructed an incredibly potentially explosive roster. And if you're not getting the most out of it, yeah, you got to look at your coaches. So... remember, he was on his last thread, and it was on fire last offseason for the same reason. So if the Chargers don't win 10, 11 games this year and maybe win a game or two in the playoffs, I think he's gone.
So Boomer Bust style, I'm just going to make this one easy. You're the last team picking a starting defense. So all they have to do is be top 12. Would you feel comfortable? You're like, oh, the LA Chargers are available. This is the year all their talent comes together they're fantasy viable.
Yeah, I would. If they're there and I'm picking last, yeah, I'd take them.
Because last year, I think I had him as a backup just to test the waters. And I'm like, Joey Bosa and Khalil Mack on the same defense. I should be getting a point per series because a sack is worth a point. They should a sack per series for the other team. Khalil Mack, we got to look it up. I think Bosa had 1.5 sacks and Mack had like 6 sacks or something. They were vastly disappointing.
I'm going full homer this fantasy draft. I'm picking Josh Allen. I'm picking the Washington defense. I'm not even going to pretend. By the way, that's not us. They're not coming for us.
They might be.
The fair is in town and someone probably got stabbed.
Yeah, it happened. Well, we live in a very dangerous part of Afton, Wyoming, Dal. It's
South Central Afton.
But yeah, so Chargers. Other than that, do you really feel like there's another question mark on that? For fantasy football, because we're getting close, Dal. I mean, you know the Chargers. You're like, I'm going to take Keenan Allen. You're going to get like 10 points a game. You say, I'm going to take Mike Williams. He's going to get 20 points 1 week. He's going to get 0 another week. You know who Mike Williams is. You get Austin Eckler. You're like, oh, good. I had the first pick in the draft.
His brother starts for the University of Wyoming, by the way, as safety. Look at all the connections the Chargers have to Wyoming. Look at that.
They should really be your bandwagon team, but none of them are the quarterback, so it's okay. Buffalo.
It's okay. That, and I wish Slater would have gone to Wyoming, this Northwestern.
Maybe he had a really good GPA and he wanted to make sure he got a good business degree.
That's probably what it was. he's doing just fine.
As it turned out, he didn't really need the plan B now, did he?
Nope, he didn't.
So we'll turn around.
I think the Chargers move up in the hierarchy of the AFC West, and I think they are right behind the Chiefs.
Now, they can't really move up the hierarchy if they took second last year without winning.
They're going to look better from the first to the end of the season than they did last year.
Now, we know that they're going to have two excellent game of the year candidate shootouts with Kansas City, but are they finally going to win one this year, Dal? Can they get a split with the Chiefs?
They can potentially win in Los Angeles. They're not winning in Kansas City.
See, that's the thing, though. Kansas City... hasn't lost a road game in that division since Mahomes has taken over. He's 16-0.
Then he's due.
But he has actually lost five of them at Arrowhead. He's dropped a couple to the Raiders. He's dropped a couple to the Chargers. And he must have lost 3-1 of them, because I don't think Denver's beaten him at all.
Because Denver sucks.
Denver has been truly, in that rivalry, they've been especially bad.
Let's move on to Denver, unless you had a boomer bust for the Chargers.
I already asked you about the defense.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
The Broncos are, oh my heck, he's got a Tebow jersey.
It's the Tim Tebow Denver jersey.
Denver is a really interesting discussion. Obviously, they go out.
I want them to beat the Jets so bad.
They get Sean Payton. I thought, no way that train wreck is going to go get Sean Payton, and they did. Now, is Sean Payton going to be able to do with them what all the Broncos fans hope that he can? I don't know. You look at the Broncos, they've got some good things going for them, but I still think they have a lot of question marks. I mean, let's be honest. Who's the MVP of Denver right now? Oh, you're having to look it up. See?
Sorry, I was checking a tweet that had just come in to make sure it wasn't news for the show.
So who's the MVP of Denver right now?
Ugh. And you can't say the coach, right?
No.
You can't say Peyton?
No.
Gotta be...
See? That's my point. I think they're lacking...
I want to make sure that I get his name right. Their defensive tackle.
I think they're lacking playmakers top to bottom.
Malik Jackson.
Yeah, that's...
Was their best player last year.
That's not much.
If it's not Russell Wilson this year, then they're going to have another bad year. It's that simple.
I could see him being better than last year, but let's be honest.
No, but that's what I'm saying. If Russell Wilson is not the clear-cut leader of the Denver Broncos this season, then it doesn't matter who is.
It's true.
They're going to win 6 games.
Well, he's got to be better. Because last year he was the...
He's going to have to be better than better is what I'm saying.
He was the equivalent of sugar-free ice cream last year. He sucked.
You remember all those seasons where it seemed like Russell Wilson was going to win MVP and then someone stole it from him at the last second? They are going to need that Russell Wilson. That's what I'm saying. Anything less than that and they are not a playoff team.
Well, they've already lost Tim Patrick for the year, which is a blow to their receiving core.
Or tight end core. It's confusing. We're not really sure what Tim Patrick does.
Well, he's nothing because he keeps getting hurt. He was hurt last year, too. So I think Denver is going to struggle.
Barring a Russell Wilson miraculous return to form.
And I don't see it.
And he didn't show. You know what? What the heck, though? Why not, Dal? Just for fun, let's get spicy.
Okay.
I'll say Denver's a playoff team. They do it. Russell Wilson, Sean Payton unlocks him. He remembers how to play football. Jerry Jeudy is going to go for 1,200 plus.
Okay.
You're going to want Jerry Jeudy as your wide receiver 2 in fantasy this year if you can't get 2 ones.
Okay.
He's going to be a solid 2.
Where are you going with this?
Denver's going to win 10 games, make a wild card.
Wow. Completely disagree.
I mean, that's fair. There's a reason I said mine was spicy. Dale.
It is spicy.
It wasn't so that you would come in with it.
I'm going to say 6 or 7 games.
That is the safer bet. And normally, I am Mr. Let's be reasonable here. I'm feeling it. For no reason at all, I'm feeling it. Denver makes a wild card.
Well, and
Russell Wilson throws 30-plus touchdowns.
We didn't do this on purpose, but we're ending with the Raiders? Why did we do that?
Oh, not ending with the Raiders.
Oh, we're okay. Sorry. We said the Chiefs. I forgot.
We got the Mac.
Okay. Khalil Mack jersey for the Raiders. Obviously, they have had some changes. Quarterback Jimmy Garoppolo now steps in for, 6 or 7 games until he inevitably gets hurt. And then their backup is who?
What was the point of moving on from Derek Carr?
I don't know. I don't know. You had a top 10, top 12 quarterback every year with potential to be higher, and apparently that wasn't good enough for you.
She said, who's even midder? Who's even closer to this?
And less healthy.
I've got it.
Jimmy Garoppolo.
Bring me the handsome one. Because I guess we're filming a movie about football in Las Vegas.
He's going to look really good on the sidelines.
Oh, my goodness. Him, Jimmy Garoppolo in Las Vegas. Jimmy Garoppolo is going to have a lot more fun than Raider fans. Let me just say that. However, they do have Devontae Adams, and they have the greatest tight end in NFL history.
Whatever.
Is what we'll be saying in 20 years. Michael Mayer is there.
Tell you what, when he wins 3 Super Bowls, you can come at me because we got Jay Novacek coming from Wyoming, so bite me. So when what's-his-name gets 3 Super Bowl rings.
Look me dead in my eyes right now, Dal, and say Novacek is the greatest tight end in football history.
He's not, but he's got 3 Super Bowl rings.
Okay, well, that was your refute to my over-the-top.
And the Cowboys haven't won a Super Bowl without him.
Well, they did before him.
Yeah, but since then. And your guy hasn't even caught a single pass.
He doesn't need to. He's Michael Mayer. They better keep up the tradition, though, Notre Dame did, of every time he catches a ball, they play the Halloween theme in the loudspeakers.
They should do that.
No reason not to.
Just maybe touchdowns.
Now, and granted, he was prolific at Notre Dame, so I'm talking, this was like 13 times that dude had to push the button a game. Because, like, we're playing North Carolina or something. It's just, another... Mayer.
I hate this song.
Do, 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 do. Just over and over again. Very funny. They should keep that going in Vegas.
Yeah, we'll see.
I would chuckle.
I think the Raiders are going to suck. Josh Jacobs is not in camp. I think he'll show up for the season. Again, Le'Veon Bell showed that this whole sit out thing is stupid. He lost, I think someone estimated he lost like $30 million.
And where is the line, Dal? And maybe you're not as petty and bitter as I am in your soul. Because we have all this proof that it doesn't really work in getting you more money. But where do you officially draw your own line in the sand where you go, what's more important to me, my own success or just dragging the people that are upsetting me down with me?
Well, not only that. It's the, well, I have to do this for the other running backs. Okay, are you going to live at their house when your career's over? Or are you going to take the $10 million? Take the $10 million and play. Sorry, I guess I'm not going to sit here and act like they don't deserve a little more. But I'm done with the idea that, the poor running. These guys that are threatening to hold out, take your $10 million and shut up. Go play.
It would be very difficult, though. The one scenario where I say it would be difficult to even get into the huddle is imagine being Saquon Barkley.
Yeah,
I couldn't make eye contact with Daniel Jones.
I know.
I would beat him to death.
But it's not his fault. It's the damn Giants' fault.
Daniel, no offense,
but Josh Jacobs,
I hate you.
Josh Jacobs, he needs to come play. But we'll see what the Raiders do. I think they have a losing record. Their salary cap.
And at least if you're looking at Jimmy Garoppolo in the huddle, at least his eyes are beautiful.
It's an angel.
Yeah.
But their salary cap situation is an absolute mess. It might be the worst in the league. And they.
Poor Duke.
They cannot change coaches. They can't buy him out. They can't do anything. They have to basically go old school and just play out the string and see what happens. I don't think the Raiders are going to do much this year.
Yeah. They. For what it's worth, I don't have high hopes for their football season. There is an argument to be made for some fantasy value, though. You got Josh Jacobs. He's not going to do what he did last year, I can't imagine. But do you think he hits 1,000 again? Is he still a solid?
Oh, yeah.
Now, you say, oh, yeah. I'd like to point out that he was...
In 17 games?
Well, yeah. But he was a borderline 1,000-yard rusher for his first couple of seasons. And then he broke out last year, so...
I think he's going to have... 12, 13, 1,400.
Is Adams sniffing around the touchdown lead again?
No.
Now, remember, last year, it wasn't like his quarterbacks. I mean, it was still, I know I like Derek Carr. He didn't have Mahomes, and he still had 17
touchdowns. The over-under is like 11. And what I mean by that is, will Garoppolo play in more than 11 games? I don't think he will. I would take the under right now. The guy is just, he is shown... to be a winner.
Now,
he's shown to be a prolific dater. But I do not see him playing 17 games.
Is he? Is he a prolific dater when
I don't even
two
know.
Of his girlfriends were adult film stars?
That's what I'm saying. What, you want someone who doesn't know what they're doing?
kind of, yeah. Now, normally I just give you the freedom to say whatever your true thoughts are here, Dal. However, there is a correct answer for this one. You have the number one pick in the entire draft. Are you taking Michael Mayer first overall? How dare you?
I'm not even taking him as my tight end.
Oh, my goodness. You know, you're right. You're not allowed to play fantasy football anymore.
So you're saying you would take Michael Mayer over Travis Kelce?
You have a daughter.
George Kittle.
She's your only daughter. Boomer bust. You're allowing her to marry Michael Mayer.
No.
Oh, my goodness. I can't stand Dal anymore. This is ridiculous.
I don't think she... Never mind. That's a whole...
Michael Mayer proposes to you personally, Dal. You are going to marry Michael...
You sound like
Michael
one of the super fans from the... The name of the hurricane is Hurricane Ditka.
Yes. Mayer is the tight end. Now, I love me some George Kittle, so maybe he's the tight end version of Joe Burrow for me. But you will be hearing a lot about my love of Michael Mayer until he's retired. These are the rules.
Which might be 2 years.
It could. We haven't heard anything from Ian Book. He's been practice squad. He went to the
Cole Kmet got himself a nice extension.
He did. I did enjoy people talking about... First of all, the concept of, oh my goodness, the Bears gave him $14 million a year. What an overpay. And at first, you see the number, you're like, $14 million? That does feel like an overpay. And I Googled it. That makes him the 14th highest paid tight end in football.
Which is probably a little high for him.
I don't
know.
That feels adequate.
But
that feels unoffensive to me.
Aaron, I have to reel you back in and we have to finish because I got to go take bullfighting pictures. That might be the most Wyoming podcast thing of all time to say.
This doesn't feel like it's going to take that. It is a Marcus Allen
Ooh,
Chiefs jersey.
Screw you, Marcus Allen.
However, yeah, he was USC. So
actually, no, has to do nothing to do with that. It's when he destroyed my Redskins in the Super Bowl. Screw you, Marcus.
Yeah.
I actually like Marcus Allen a lot.
Although it also would have helped if... you hadn't decided to throw the ball right to a Raider at your own goal line right now.
I didn't do anything.
I blame you personally for that, Dal. I'm holding you accountable for what has taken place in 1983.
But the Chiefs, man, they went on another run last year. Interestingly enough, though, they're not as bulletproof as some people like to think. But I would argue that they're even better than being bulletproof because they have shown they're kind of gritty and resilient. I thought they were going to lose that Super Bowl to the Eagles, and then they turned that around. It's a very good team.
I'm not going to lie. Literally the moment with the final minute of that football game that Joe Burrow completed a 3rd and 17 and converted it, like, a small part of me, when I know now that they're only at their 30, but, like, you don't convert a 3rd and 17 and then not go down the field and score. I went, oh, this is it. Burrow's about to be 4-0 against Mahomes. This thing's over. And then Chris Jones happened and got the sack, and I was sad.
I think you've got to give just a ton of credit to Andy Reid, though, and their staff, their offensive staff. They keep going out. To me, they're kind of in peak Patriots mode right now in that they have certain players that they're looking for instead of just collecting talent. And then they plug them in to do certain roles within their team. And those people do a great job. You look at Pacheco this last year, Pacheco, however you say it.
Mm-hmm.
Tony. They have got
Kadarius Tony.
Yeah, they have got... They've just got it dialed in. Now, whether they're going to go do it again, I don't know. But they're definitely a favorite. I mean, let's be honest.
You love Buffalo.
Yeah.
I love the Bengals as our AFC. If my team's bad, that's who I'll watch in the playoffs.
To me, I almost get the impression Patrick Mahomes, where he got hurt, you're almost like, he needs to be just a little more hurt than that for someone to get past him.
as you said... I'm not going to sit here and say that is like the reality. Like, oh, you're going to need a miracle to get past it. We've seen it. Buffalo can beat the Chiefs.
Yeah.
So the Bengals can beat the Chiefs. Bengals. And not just in the sense, I mean, in theory, the Texans can beat the Chiefs. I mean, like, we've seen this happen. They're very close, but you're not going to not make the Chiefs the AFC favorites.
Oh, and
obviously.
And if we're talking division, it's not even close.
However, I am, once again,
I do think the Chargers could win one of those games, but they're not going to win the division. Not
we,
a chance.
We should all, as football fans, especially as NFC fans, where it won't personally hurt our feelings, it only sort of hurts our feelings if the team we're casually cheering for loses. As NFC fans, isn't the AFC just so fun right now? You cannot wait to watch the AFC
playoffs. The number
playoffs.
Of quarterbacks is just ridiculous.
And it's not even just the quarterback. All those teams that have quarterbacks have good football teams.
Yeah, they're loaded.
And I know that you said, you know, Trevor Lawrence, he hadn't proved it to you just yet. That's whatever. Sneaky, talented roster they've suddenly put together in Jacksonville.
Well, that was
with Ridley. Coming together.
I will point out that it's interesting that some of these franchises fall ass backwards into fortune. So the Jaguars go out and get Urban Meyer, who was an urban blight. And then, oh man, we have a big mess. What should we do? Oh, Doug Peterson is just sitting here.
Someone threw Doug Peterson in the dumpster.
Which is who they should have hired in the first place. And talk about making chicken salad out of chicken crap. I mean, he's a guy that probably shouldn't have been fired by the Eagles.
Yeah.
Of course, the Eagles have done okay in his absence, obviously. But
which
I just,
is fair.
But I just think he's a hell of a good coach. And the Jaguars have fell into him. The 49ers. They trade up. They get Trey Lance. They think they're being all smart. Why are they any good last year? Because the last pick in the draft ended up being Brock Purdy, and the 100 games he started in college turned out to be important.
And you know what? I'll even give him credit. People may have been questioning. You got Garoppolo, and you just went out, and you drafted Trey Lance. Why are you drafting more quarterbacks? Well, you know what? Because sometimes stuff happens, Dal. I'll give John Lynch credit. He covered his bases. And sometimes, 99% of the time, wasted draft pick. And sometimes, you're a genius.
I'm just saying, though, it's still a lot of luck on a lot of these players. I mean, you think about the kind of money that these teams spend on scouting and on research and on go tell me what you think and all this stuff. And a lot of times it still just comes down to, wow, we lucked out there.
Well, and a big part of it,
I mean, look at the Dallas Cowboys. I hate Dallas. They were going to trade up and get Paxton Lynch. And then they settled for Dak Prescott. They didn't do that on purpose. They got Dak Prescott on accident. They were going to move up and draft a guy who has about as many wins in the NFL as I do. So
I got to look up the guy's name so that this hits. But the Hall of Fame game was last week, and I sent you the picture of sensationalist journalism the next morning.
Yeah.
Are the Jets in trouble because they lost the Hall of Fame game?
Yeah, someone called it a must-win game. It's not even the real preseason. It's an extra game.
And I'm guessing what they meant was they're like, well, the first team offense and defense, and we paid all this money, and
Aaron
they better
Rodgers
look
didn't
good.
Even play.
Nobody played. Not one person. However, I gotta know his name because I turned to my dad as I was watching that game, and the Browns sent in their third string quarterback, a rookie. Let's get his name here. It's a hyphenated name.
Oh, right. I remember this guy. Dorian something.
Let's just peep see here. Thompson Robinson.
Oh, well, that's
Dorian Thompson Robinson.
Oh, okay. I guess Dorian, right?
And I turned to my dad and I said, wow, Dad, you seeing this? This guy is going to be a USFL MVP for like 3 or 4 years in a row. I can already foresee it. Just watch this dude sling it. So when he is, I want full credit that it was on air. It wasn't just a joke I told my dad. I was on here. When he ends up practice squatted for 2 or 3 years, and then finally he's out and he's playing Spring League, and he's dominating some Spring League in 2 to 3 years, Aaron Feely said it first.
There you go.
Chiefs boomer bust, it doesn't exist. You're taking Patrick Mahomes. He's
if you have a chance to take Mahomes or Kelsey, you better take Mahomes or Kelsey.
And I know it's odd because they're Super Bowl favorite. You settle for anyone else if you need to fill a roster spot.
Yeah.
You're like, all right.
Well,
I got a guy on a bye. I guess I'll play
Pringle.
Tony this week.
Pringle was like their fifth or sixth receiver last year. The Commanders picked him up kind of on a lark. They signed him to... Supposedly, he is going not only like he's.
I'm sorry, did you say he was a Chief last year?
Wasn't he?
2 years ago, Dell. Oh. Last year, he was actually a mild fan favorite in Chicago.
Oh, okay.
As we all liked, quote, the juice he'd been. And he brings that juice.
Well, supposedly.
He brings some swagger.
Supposedly, he's going to beat out a couple of people on Washington. Again, just one of those players.
He's not going to set the world on fire, but I have no doubts that Byron Pringle will he'll have 500 yards and 3 or 4 touchdowns.
You act like Washington's used to having their third and fourth receiver have that many yards.
They've got a very nice-looking wide
now
receiver
they do.
Core this year.
Now they do.
Sad news out of Bears camp, too, about those injuries we had, because apparently Chase Claypool in his contract year had actually been looking very well.
He looks like a bust.
Based on last season. I'm reporting the camp news.
Okay, but I think you and I should have a little bit of a side wager on Chase Claypool. What is a successful year to you for Chase Claypool and the Bears this year? Those are great numbers for Chase Claypool this year.
I would say from an eye test standpoint, if he stands out as being the second best receiver on the team.
Behind Mooney.
Behind Moore.
If we can get
to a point where we have DJ Moore lined up against slot corners and safeties, if we can get to the point where Mooney is lined up on these guys, that's the success. Claypool can be a decoy at that point for all I care. But if you want to talk pure raw numbers, what it would take to draw defense's attention
over
to it.
Over under 800 yards receiving.
I was going to say 800 yards. That's hilarious.
I say under.
I say he needs 800 or 8 plus touchdowns. A touchdown every other game.
And I say under that too.
All right.
So what are we betting?
I don't know. It's usually a hat.
Especially since you're moving.
If he does... You have to give me Josh Allen for my fantasy playoff run. You have to just hand him over while I win back-to-back championships through nefarious evil means, and the rest of the league threatens to lynch you in the
streets. We'll have to talk about that. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, by the way, you ever trade with me and I end up easily winning it, I will warn you now because it didn't happen last year. There's a precedent that's been set for a couple of other people that did such a thing. That a majority of the league will send you death threats via the message board.
Nice.
Why would you trade with him?
I'm not going to trade
with
him.
You?
I'm not trading with him.
Lest we forget last year that my cousin, who has 2 championships, Hillbilly Likes Pie, whose name you love.
I love that
He's
name.
No slouch. Jack. Very good in our fantasy league. Successful.
And he likes pie.
Owner. He's from Naperville, too. So Hillbilly part doesn't even really make sense.
That reminds me. One of the Wyoming soccer players I saw, they were having their media day or whatever.
Is he from Naperville?
You know, one of their women. Yeah, Naperville, Illinois.
Nice. I love when Napervillians go.
But, I really do have to go take some bull riding
all
pictures.
Right. I was just going to say, week 3, he was vastly disappointed with Derrick Henry's production, and he told me, just get him off my team. I have 4 running backs anyway. He said, I'll take any receiver with... I gave him Drake London, and he gave me Derrick Henry. And
yeah,
guess,
that's bull.
Guess which running back suddenly wasn't struggling after week 3 anymore?
There's one running back in the entire league that basically is still that old school going to carry the team, and it's him. You don't trade him.
And he was truly awful for 3 games, but you had to know that wasn't going to last.
He's all they had. Anyway.
That was fun. Anyway, you can catch us on Spotify, on YouTube, and at svinews.com/podcasts. We're covering the South next week, Dad.
Woohoo!
See you guys then.